Okay, so I'm happy to share the feedback my wife would give, and it's actually apropos, as they call it in Eastern Europe.
I mean, Western Europe, France, that's a French word. I'm pretty
Which part's Eastern?
The Czech Republic, Croatia.
Former Soviet states.
Yeah. Latvia.
Y'all never been there. Y'all don't know.
I've been to Poland.
Okay.
That's Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
That's basically.
How apropos.
Thank you.
See?
Bienvenue. Has a certain je ne sais quoi.
The Beatitudes!
Wow.
I think that's the most we've ever gotten into this.
Yes.
Why?
Because it's the 100th episode.
We did it.
Yes. End of season two. Yeah, I don't know what we did, but that thing has been done.
Looks like we made it. Look how far we come, my baby.
It's 1997.
And it feels like Beatitudes heaven. They said, I bet you'll quit after two shows, but just look at us going
on.
Strong.
Still. Anyway.
We're still on. We got
And hopefully you are too after all that singing.
Jeez, if you already quit this episode, you're well.
No surprise.
Yeah.
You won't,
free pass.
You're not even here to hear it.
We'll see you in season three.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, this is the Beatitudes, a show for Christian men and Shania Twain seeking to walk in their journey with the Lord, growing closer to Him first and foremost, but also with one another. Like this idea that authentic fraternity is one of the ways we could experience Christ together.
Amen.
Dudes, we've done this more than 100 times. 100 that we've produced.
Yes.
That's right. We're ahead a little bit.
You only see the ones that we've done right.
There's a couple that never left the editing floor.
But don't worry, we'll get those guests back. We'll make
that's
it happen.
That's right.
Yeah, that's just good practice.
Yes.
Amen. So my name's Jeff Shufflebine, and I am joined by two of my favorite humans in the whole world, Nick Besner.
Really?
That's right. It's true. It's
top
true.
Person. Wow. Nick
and,
Besner.
And Paul Kolker.
Golly gee, mister. So happy that I'm one of your favorites.
Well, ever since I met you in the 1950s and you stayed 8 years old ever since then, I just figured we should stick together.
I'm immortal.
That's how you start off a Christian men's podcast.
Yeah, no.
Immortal children.
Memento mori.
From the 50s.
Remember death.
That's right. You know, there's a guy who works with me nicknamed Malachi. That's from the Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen.
That is.
But almost everybody says, like children of the corn.
Oh, gosh. Dark.
No, like the Bible.
It's a book of the Bible. It's not even just an obscure character.
Yeah, there are some obscure ones out there.
Yeah. Right? He's one of the minor prophets.
You know what?
Age-wise, just meaning like less prolific in writing.
Yeah, and not underground either.
Correct. He was not digging for the Lord's buried treasure. I mean, the Lord did say though that he finds a treasure buried in a field.
Yeah, that's minor prophets. I'm Malachi Minor. Wow, what a twist.
Yeah, we are off to a rip-roaring start.
When we started this, we did a couple things. We Googled, how do you do this?
How do you do a podcast?
One of the things we found is most people quit pretty quick.
Yeah, and that you have to order cables
for the microphones.
That's right.
Yep, that happened, though.
That one was real, yeah.
Turns out that if you can go past about two episodes, you're fairly legit. If you can get to 100... That's next level. And we did it. This is, I don't know how seasons work, but this is the end of season two.
Yep.
That's it.
We decided 50 in a season.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we skipped 1 week. We skipped the Christmas week, maybe, or something like that.
We skipped 1 week
around Christmas. Want to celebrate the birth of Jesus.
Yeah, thank you for yes anding me. I really only had the beginning of that, so
Very
I'm
good.
Glad you were there.
You and I downed a bunch of caffeine right before
the show.
Yeah,
so we're great.
I'm feeling good.
Oh, man.
So we do a competition in every season, and I'm not sure why we do it.
Well, here's the thing. It's fun in the moment, and then you get the total at the end. You're like, oh, well.
What's that for?
You know, in any one, it's like poker. In any one hand, I might win.
Okay.
Over the course of a season, Paul will win.
This is like Nick and I just joined the YMCA, and we're on a team where they put the boys and girls together. And the goals are 8 feet high. And LeBron James shows up, and he's like, do you want to play basketball? That's what this game is like with you.
Thanks.
Dunking all over us. You don't even show mercy.
I only had a shot in season one because of the mercy of Father Ken.
But he did give you a big one.
Oh, yeah, you got a ton of points.
Biggest ever. So we do a game in every episode. We're going to play it here in a little bit differently. But I thought that when we got together, you know, we don't bring a guest on for the end of our season. We could do a couple fun things here.
Yeah.
One is, let's popcorn here. We don't even know each other's questions. We're going to do three Beatitudes questions of the day. These are for all three of us to answer.
Yeah.
Let's just put it out there and let's see what happens. And okay. Sometimes we know ahead of time. This time we don't. How about you go first, Paul? What's your question of the day?
All right.
Do you want to hold the card and act like you're reading it?
Yes. Yes, I do.
That's part of the
shtick. Because I'll soon be.
All right. It's okay. Draw a different one.
I'll soon be without a job. And so I'll have time to actually print these up. So, all right. Yes. So the Beatitudes, my Beatitudes question of the day is, what would you try to correct about your past if you could, or on the flip side of that, would you leave it unchanged because of something that has happened to you since, a way you've grown since then in God's providence? Because obviously we can't change the past, but
yeah,
like, just what would you try, like, if you could, sure, if God gave you that option, what would you change, or would you leave it the same, and why?
Man, I have like so many answers to this.
Right.
I actually think about this a lot. I'll give you a very short one because I don't want to go into details. But I think when I was not a man worth marrying, I dated quite a few women. And I don't take back like this idea that dating is part of the journey of all the no's mean you're getting closer to the person that, you know, this one wasn't right for me. I wasn't right for this person. Whatever. You're finding your person. And thanks be to God, I found Amanda. I think, though, there was ways that I dated where I was disrespectful, and I would take that back in a heartbeat. I would still date. I would still break up. I would still, like, those things I don't have a problem with. It's just kind of the, did I honor that person and honor, you know, their family and the way I dated? And sometimes the answer to that is no. So that's that one. The other one, maybe I shared this in season one, but I've been forgiven for this. But I remember when my wife got her Aggie ring and they asked me if I wanted to put it on her. And in a moment of like not knowing what to do, I did. And I looked at my father-in-law's face and I was like, oh, yeah. Oh man, like, you should be the one doing this. You raised her. You paid for this school. I wrote him a whole letter. We're good. But like, I would absolutely take that
back. That's a really crystal clear point of like, whoopsie.
There's no part of me today that's like, I'm who I am because of that moment.
Yeah.
Great question.
Well, but there's humility in that writing the letter, and then the relationship is maybe stronger now because of the mistake in some ways.
Paul, I give it to you. That's, you're 100% right. I still would take it.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. I totally get it.
You get to answer last since you surprised us with the question.
Yeah, no, I think the first point you made, Jeff, is a good one. Yeah. Echo, ditto, like just, different. I mean, it's growing and learning as you're dating and growing up and making mistakes in our humanness, I think. I can identify with that one.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that. It
makes me think of John Michael Aceto. Like, he did such a good job of honoring the fact that he wasn't who he was called to be by God when he was, you know, in his college days, in his early dating days, and the mercy that he even had for himself as he made those changes. So
And then one, I think after I broke my leg in high school, I had to sit out that basketball season, and coming back the next year, it was just like, oh, now I'm not good at basketball because I took a season off. Like, did I really try as hard as I could have to be the best, you know, in a comeback kind of situation?
Sure.
Right? Like, it probably requires extra effort. Did I actually put in that extra effort? Or did I just say, like, I'll be what I am and this is me, right?
You know what, I appreciate that you didn't say, I would have not broken my leg.
Well, I didn't really have much choice there.
I choose to break this real bad.
Yeah. Obviously would undo that because I still deal with it to the day.
Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah.
But it makes you who you are.
That's right.
And I've seen you try hard in your comebacks from everything else besides that basketball season.
Sure.
Yeah. Very good, Paul.
Yes. Okay. So weirdly, in certain arenas, I was okay with this one, but in others, for whatever reason at the time, I wasn't. So if I could go back to like my 14, 15, you know, teenage self, basically, I would say not to let any form of rejection define me. Like, not to think that that moment of hearing a no means there's anything about me or wrong with me or any of that. And what's weird is that, again, like, so in certain arenas, like improv, I got rejected from the improv troupe in high school, my first time that I auditioned, and then went back and auditioned again the next year and got it.
Yeah.
And so somehow, I mean, I'm sure I had my moment of hanging my head and all of that sort of stuff the first time, but I didn't let it define me, and I was able to actually go back and then succeed and do better the next time. But for whatever reason, especially in the early part of high school, it was like, man, that in trying to venture into the dating scene, like we've talked about, is like, that just was terrifying to me, because I thought that her no, you know, whoever that mysterious girl happened to be, it was like, I thought that her no would somehow mean something about me, as if that affected who I am and my dignity and all of that. I got better about that as time went on too, but that one was like, at least, again, at first, like freshman year, sophomore year, when you're trying to figure that stuff out, like, that was terrifying for me.
It's amazing how much we get in our heads about, like, we can say the intellectual portion of, like, my worth doesn't come from this, but that doesn't change, like, the emotional reaction to, like, I'm connected to something that really doesn't define me, but I'm going to act differently about everything because of it.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. In your head, though, like, you can do that math and it can add up perfectly, but it doesn't change how the human heart works. It's weird.
When does that go away again?
I think about 6 months after you're in the ground.
You're saying memento mori.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I see you brought out all the questions there. Do you want to pull one?
I was ready. Oh, wow. This is a good one. could you just share a moment, doesn't have to be the moment, but a moment of kind of defining joy or happiness in your life that's based on something that you did or accomplished? So you can't say, like, the birth of a child or you know, my wedding day or anything like that.
Yeah, I might have a little bit of silence here.
So it's like a really, like, more of a get to know you, like, accomplishment, something that you conquered or did.
Okay, well, so I kind of alluded to it, because so this is with improv, the world of improv, but so in high school I had that moment, but I had a similar setup in college where, as a freshman, I auditioned for Freudian Slip at A&M, did not get it. It was a 3-hour audition, and there was a second day to it as well. So at the end of the first day, I didn't get it. And I remember, well, in hindsight, like, literally just a week or so later, I was like, wow, I think I kind of gave up on myself in the course of that 3 hours, because I wasn't mentally prepared for a 3-hour audition. So there was, some of it was just learning the process. But yeah, I didn't have the same energy by the end of it and all of that kind of stuff. And then the next year, well, so real quick, the blessing that was in that is that I actually had the time to do freshman leadership organization and get to know a bunch of my fellow freshmen. And so, like, I made a ton of friends my freshman year, partly, I think, because I wasn't on the improv troupe. So I think in God's providence, it worked out. But then as a sophomore, I went back, I geared up in my head. I said, okay, I know what this is. I know that there are going to be 70-something people auditioning. I know that it's 2 3-hour auditions that are on separate days. Like, all right, I'm ready to get in the trenches. Let's do this. And I got through the first round, or the first day, I mean. Like, so I got through the first 2 rounds that are in that day. And then I went back for the second day, and I was like, wow, okay. I'm down to the final 12 or whatever it was. And I was like, all right, don't get in your head, Paul. Stay, like, stay strong. Make this happen. And I just persevered, got through, made it. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, and so I felt really good about, like, rising above what could have really beat me down, In fairness, it did for, again, like, at least a week or a month or something, where I just was kind of in my head about missing that opportunity as a freshman. But, again, it worked out.
First of all, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Second of all, you know how close this hits home.
Oh.
No, this is awesome.
I forgot.
I told Paul that story when we first started hanging out, that I went out for Freudian slip at the beginning of my junior year, and having not, you know, I just loved him. I thought it was so cool, and I like fun things.
Fun, goofy, high energy things.
70 plus people.
Yeah.
make it through both rounds of the first day, get the call back to the second day. There were six of us that showed up. And I went from being like the Jeff that'll say yes to anything to the Jeff that was nervous. Mm. You know, like it was a very different
feel.
Like,
oh, this is real now.
Yeah, I might be in Freudian slip. And six of us got pared down after another 3 hours on day two to only three. And I was cut. And I mean, I was disappointed. That's an understatement. I really wanted to do it. So I went and started a comedy band because I was like, I'll at least go just perform.
Do something.
Yeah. And it ended up being a blast and had a great time. But the process that you're describing is grueling. To go through it twice and make it on the second one is incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I appreciate it. No, that one felt good, especially as, 18-year-old me or 19 at the time. So like, oh, okay, I can achieve
like that real, yeah.
Yeah. Like I can,
not just in high school, I'm in college. Like, it's a bigger deal.
Yeah.
Like I can be in a competitive environment and succeed, and even if I didn't the first time.
I think I love all those moments in life where you know that whatever's about to happen in the next 10 minutes or 3 hours, whatever, is life-defining. You're either going to be this thing after or not. Like, you're either in Freudian slip or you're not. I ran for student body president. You're either student body president or you're not. Like, and the decision, when it comes out, is going to change everything. And so I think those are, I don't know, maybe I'm addicted to that feeling.
I mean, it is a rush.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been disappointed
by
many.
Being in sales, I feel like you probably are, right? It's like, you're either going to say yes or not, and like we're gonna serve this or not, like
maybe I like doing that all the time. You're either gonna be on the Beatitudes or you're not.
I'm gonna come up with this crazy this crazy chubby bunnies game for my friends.
You're either gonna choke
and you're gonna do it
or not.
There's no or not with that one.
Trying to teach my kids that you just do it.
That's it.
Here's my answer to this question, and I did change it once you modified it. It has to be something you did. One of the hardest things I ever faced was I was trying to launch the Carpool Safe Ride program at Texas A&M. And I had faced tons of adversity, and most people were telling me that it wasn't going to work. And then they scheduled a meeting. And it was the general counsel of the risk management department of Texas A&M system globally, the president, vice president of the university, and then me and my two mentors. And I had these business plans. And they thought, as I sat down, that they were going to give me an hour, and at the end they would shut down this 20-year-old's idea, right? The amount of effort I put into studying everything I could and practicing how to answer everything and thinking like a chess match, every move, counter move, what they would say, why they might say it, what they could surprise me with. It was like a 9-on-1 game that they had no shot when they walked in the door.
Wow.
And it got to the very end, and it wasn't disrespectful in any way. But they basically got to where every question they asked, I not only had an answer, I had it documented. I had the counter answers. I had the reasons why not. I had the questions that still remained. And it wasn't in my head. It was on paper. I had it in the agenda, and we'd flip through. And they get to the end, and they look at the president of the university, and they said, listen, we don't like it, but we can't stop them. And I was like,
what a great answer.
I did it.
I can remember Dr. Ben Welch was sitting there next to me. He's one of my mentors. And I just kind of look over at him out of the corner of my eye, and he goes, you did it, baby. And he goes, get up, let's go.
Get out of the room.
Exit gracefully.
I mean, it was like one of these things, like you don't remember getting in the elevator because you're like, wait a minute.
My body's floating.
How did that happen? And it come to realize, like, it's one of the gifts I think God gave me is understanding people. This isn't like, this isn't about trying to outwit somebody. It's understanding human nature and the needs of people and like, a tenacity of thought ahead to be able to plan. I'm good at that. So trying to use it
anticipate sense. Objections and to be able to not that it's combative, but to head them off at the pass there so that they feel like, oh, he's already covered that area.
And you see the parallels with improv. It's really about people and human nature, and that if these things happen, here's the three most likely scenarios next. So
connecting with the moment and with the person. And
I even made them laugh one time.
Nice.
Once. The rest of it, they were like snarling. It got us again. Darn,
well,
Shufflebine.
They're probably mad immediately after they laughed because,
he's got us laughing. When I walked across stage for my graduation, they call it stage, not strage.
Well, it's only if you're angry at the graduation.
I was stragering across, and I didn't make it from person A to person B without hugging almost half the people on the stage at the A&M graduation. And I messed up everybody's pictures because they take a picture of you here and here. The second picture I got was somebody else because I'm like hugging one of the lawyers and somebody
else
from risk management.
Yeah.
Like, you photobombed Jeff, everybody.
Second picture and everyone behind you.
I just
is
go
off
sit
one.
With them in yeah. the regalia.
We've had one picture, yes, but what about second picture? Lord of the Rings? No.
Yes,
okay.
yes, yes. Oh, second yeah. breakfast.
I
second
missed
breakfast.
That. I thought I was in a, and it was an Irish university. You know where it is, right? Nick, what about your own answer?
I think your point is right, like these moments of what am I or am I not? And I think we've talked about, I worked at J.P. Morgan, that's known, but the path to get there wasn't so clear and straight and obvious. You know, I probably had, what, 3 different internships in college, and none of them really worked out except for the J.P. Morgan one, but that was only after I kind of failed a few other times and was going after some other jobs that I thought was where I was supposed to be, but then it turns out I wasn't. And then the day that I met with J.P. Morgan is, they call them super days, so it was like this 7-hour interview kind of thing, and I had 6 of those lined up in a row that week in Houston, and J.P. Morgan was my top choice, just so happened it was the first day of that week, and I get to the next hotel room for the next dinner for the next day's interview, and I had like 5 of these lined up, and they gave me the offer, and I had like, I don't know, 72 hours to accept it, and I was like, I'll take it. And I just called all the rest. I'm like, can't come. Sorry. Cancel.
Don't know if you've heard my name. I'm a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm a day one kind of guy.
Well, here's what the thing. You know, I could go through the rest of this week and then pick J.P. Morgan, or I could just go back to college and
yeah, take the pressure
do that.
Off.
Yeah.
I tried that with Freudian slip on day one. I tried to say, I'll just take it.
Okay, but man, we don't like it, but we can't say no.
I remember like being in that hotel room, like
that's
what
awesome.
I was wearing, and
yeah,
just like those like defining moments.
And
yeah.
not to like try to pick like or position like the juxtaposition of your life, but Lindsay, Texas, small town kid,
sure.
comes in and you know day one draft pick for J.P. Morgan, like that is a really good feeling.
Yeah, it was cool.
That's huge.
You probably gave him those. Giant eyebrows and twinkling eyes of yours.
You know, that's what did it. They actually told me my feedback was it was the eyebrows. It was you and one other guy, skinny brow. And
old skinny brows. We kicked him out.
Yeah, he's out.
Can't have that face of J.P. Morgan. All right. Speaking of faces, I'm going to look in the back of this card of our faces, which is also our logo.
You had to fit a speaking of in there, didn't you?
Speaking of.
Well, it is the 100th episode.
Say speaking of, then you know something good is coming.
That's right.
Not the transition per se, but what follows it will be good.
So here's my TBD question of the day for you. And I'm assuming that both of your wives know that we do this podcast, right?
Oh, I haven't told her yet. She just thinks I go to a day job every day. No, yeah, go.
What is one thing that if she could, your wife would change or do differently about the Beatitudes? What is some feedback you've received? Or even if it's intuitive, maybe your wife's never given you feedback, you just know her, that she would change about the Beatitudes.
Wow, this is a tough one.
I've got some from like the early days, which I think we've gotten better at over time.
Oh,
remember, in the first, I don't know, handful, dozen or 2 dozen episodes, Brother's like, you take forever to get to the point.
Babe,
that's kind of what we do.
See, I don't understand that, because if I were trying to get to a point, what I would do is I would start at the beginning of what leads to it, and then, you know, I might talk around it a little bit, you know, just because.
And I mean, the bottom line is this. Yeah. Does she know that we're looking at a timer and we got to fill the whole thing? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Your wife's always giving good feedback.
No,
that's a good
does.
One.
She
yeah.
does. Yeah, that was earlier on where we would, like, chit-chat for maybe, like, 7 or 8 minutes before, like, oh, and our guest is here.
This guy's sitting in between two of us.
Yeah. Just awkwardly waiting.
With his Lorso scraping up against the sound machine.
That Lorso.
That one still gets
it's
me.
It's a good reference there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your lower torso, for
yes.
those unfamiliar.
If you haven't seen the episode.
If you're new to the show.
Yeah.
What kind of Lorso do you have?
I prefer reading Mars Attacks by Orson Welles.
Orson.
No, wait. What? It's not Mars Attacks. That's a movie. Anyway.
Yeah, he wrote 1984?
No, that's
about
that's
pigs.
Orwell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lorwell. Yeah.
They're
Animal
both,
Farm
they're
is
both
about pigs.
Orwell books with similar themes.
19 What's Animal Farm.
But no, there are no pigs in 19 Animal Farm.
Yeah. Some are just more equal. Anyway.
Okay, so I'm happy to share the feedback my wife would give, and it's actually apropos, as they call it in Eastern Europe.
I mean, Western Europe, France, that's a French word. I'm pretty
Which
sure.
Part's Eastern?
The Czech Republic, Croatia.
Former Soviet states.
Yeah. Latvia.
Y'all never been there? Y'all don't know?
I've been to Poland.
Okay.
That's Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
That's basically.
How apropos.
Thank you.
See?
Bienvenue. Has a certain je ne sais quoi.
Paul, welcome to Poland. You want to live there for today?
Why would they have a French accent in Poland?
What are you doing there, Steve?
Oh, my goodness.
I offered him the green fairy, which is absinthe, which is big in all of Europe.
For sure.
For sure.
My wife.
Exactly.
What she also does give me feedback on continuously is how much she loves TBD, and she wishes there was more time that the audience got to hear from the three of us. Hmm. So what an appropriate 100th episode.
Apropos.
Exactly. It's pa fa the call, as they say. if you don't finish the word, it's French.
Pa fa the call.
I don't even know how to follow that.
You don't have to.
Okay. I mean... No, all those words already end in kind of vowels. I don't know. Okay.
I don't know.
Pass me the fry.
I'm thinking if I'm just trying to intuit something, because she's mostly just had positive feedback for what we've done, which has been really
I've
fun.
I felt that from her cool. When I see her. She gives me that nod.
Yeah.
That little twinkle in her eye
that
says,
little,
she says,
little approving look.
She said, that'll do, pig.
Faulty. I mean, I if I could intuit something, it might just be similar to the TBD kind of thing, but maybe there's just, I think, diving a little deeper on some of the spirituality stuff sometimes. Like, I think the Ken Geraci episode and, you know, some of these episodes that have had the deeper... impact have been the more spiritually focused ones, and not that we never touch it or whatever, but just, you know, just going deeper at times.
I had that thought the other day because I was thinking about all the feedback we get, and you know, the show's funny enough that I think some people come on here and they don't think we want them to go deep, and we almost have to kind of set up like, we're going to talk about this really terrible part of your life that's very hard, and we're going to be serious about it. What is interesting though is all the funny from having a wolf as a mascot to doing things like dance around in Russian Crogs sets people up where they don't see it coming, because all of a sudden spirituality and emotion and
going deeper
and
Dark Night of the Soul
and
next level
and love
and love.
They don't, the greatest
don't
of these
coming.
Is love.
And, of all of those. The greatest of them is love.
It's one of the.
No, I think that there's something to that. And maybe season 3 is going to be chock full of teal jokels.
Nice save on your Freudian slip. You can just correct the word. You don't have to change your entire delivery mechanism.
I yes and myself.
If nobody else is gonna.
I got you, Jeff.
I got you, buddy.
Teal Jekylls.
Wow. All right, so I think this will be fun. Why don't we play a game and try to prank call somebody at the same time.
At the same
time.
So
why don't you set up this game while I'm making a phone call
okay,
here for us.
So we're going to do an extra special version of...
Blessed are the joke makers, for they shall not inherit any points.
Yeah, well, you know, this one.
No
this
points
just
today.
All bets are off. What we're going to do... Do we each have a question? Or no?
Each of us will get a different question.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Yep. We each have a Catholic card game prompt, but also we're each going to get...
Oh. Hey, who's that?
Hey, is that Dave Moore?
Oh, who is this?
You're on the air with the Beatitudes, Dave.
Yeah, Dave Moore.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Well, you're
Beatitudes.
You're driving a horse.
Hey, Dave, can you give us a behind the scenes on what's going on? Do you have 5 minutes? What's going on in your brain when you play this? Well, you're driving down the highway, you're riding a horse, at the office doing accounting, or making coffee, or shoveling dirt, or maybe you're sick at home, turn on the Beatitudes, the Beatitudes. But was that Eddie Van Halen playing guitar?
Oh my gosh, that's Chuck, bro.
That was Chuck?
Yeah, hey. Our CMI engineer is like an award-winning blues guitarist. He was in the Blues Guitar King competition and like beat everyone in America. He's like amazing. Top 1,000 in blues and country.
Dave,
yeah.
You're on the 100th episode of the Beatitudes, the end of season 2, prepping for season 3. We're getting ready to play a game. We're going to do that when we get off the phone with you. But we thought we would prank call you, and then it just turned into, Dave, how did you come up with such great inspiration for the music that we're now starting to debut on the show?
Dave Bew.
It's funny. Well, obviously, I'm a big fan of the show, right? And sure. I think that you have kind of this appeal to all sorts of different people who would watch the Beatitudes and be attracted to, like, you know, just the commentary, the fun, it's just very lighthearted and easy. And so I'm, like, thinking about it, and I'm like, well, I don't know whether you're stuck in the office doing accounting or like Parker Road off of like right where we live by the Chisholm Trail is like it's been under construction forever. And I don't know. I was like driving to get my coffee and there's this dude shoveling dirt.
This
and I'm
is
like,
a stream
that guy
of consciousness.
Needs,
it
yeah.
is. Yeah.
Yeah. This guy needs the Beatitudes, you know, like
so no matter
he
where
would probably
you're at,
love
what
the
you're
Beatitudes.
Doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, so can I ask you a question, though? We're mm-hmm. lighthearted. We're accessible. How do you feel when we do an episode where everybody's crying?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever heard the show before?
You know, I don't know if I've heard that one yet.
Okay.
So
it's like every fifth episode, we all cry. It's a big surprise. Hey, next time will you make us a song that's about how hard it is sometimes to listen to Beatitudes because it gets straight to the heart and make it like a teal jokel?
Tear jerker is what Jeff was going for there.
Man, I'm like a total faboon. I heard that. I think the Titanic theme song, you know, would be so fitting, especially in a time where like, when the Titanic's like sinking, sending like strong opinionated letters to the iceberg. You know, I think the theme of Titanic is so necessary for the feeling of the emotion of sadness, but also joy. Yeah.
The emotion of the ocean as it swallows up the Titanic, right?
Is what I just said actually going on air? Because that.
Yeah, we live stream by recording it and producing it. So, yes.
Oh, that's great. I mean, that's great.
We could edit.
Lauren,
it.
Can I borrow your inhaler?
Hey, we're live. Okay. We're live right now, recording this with you.
Oh, we are live. Okay. Hi, everyone.
This is us. Hey, Dave, we're gonna let you go. Any last short version of a Dave thought? We'll finish with the Titanic song after we finish up with you, and then we'll play our game. Any last thoughts?
No, I just that last note that I sang. I mean, it was all out, and I intentionally, you know, did this like Dorian kind of iridium scale thing where I went off, and I'm making up things, but anyways, so. Yeah, it's like, have you ever thrown a meatloaf against the wall and called it modern art? Like that was that note, you know.
You know, what I heard you say is that the DeLorean had its own rhythmic heart. And that is what we're going to go out on as we listen to the Titanic. And my brother, thanks for being this weird repeat part of the Beatitudes. Oh, man, there's a call coming in. All right. Thanks for cheers. Doing this. Cheers. Listen to the Titanic, and then I'll hang up on you. We love you.
Farewell.
Stop right now. It's time for the Beatitudes.
Nailed it. Love you, buddy.
Love you. Take care, guys.
Nice. Bye. Bye. All right, that was Dave Moore. Now we're back to our, I don't know, I just pressed the button and it happened. So here we are.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, okay. So, special edition of
Blessed Are the Joke Makers.
All right. And we each get a Catholic card game card and... We have five character cards, and I believe somebody's just going to call switch, and we have to try to keep answering the prompt as whatever character we have.
So I'll share my question card, and then you have to try to guess who I'm being for each one of these. But I have to try to actually answer the question.
Yes. Oh, that's right. So it's based on guessing. Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So I'll go first. My question card, I haven't even read this out loud yet. Contemplating blank takes up a lot of my prayer time. Constipating blank.
You really get stuck on that word.
You know what? Constipating blanks actually makes sense.
And we just lost a third.
Can
of
I
the
give
audience.
You my first character? No.
It's paw for the call.
Paw for the call.
Okay. Contemplating blank takes up a lot of my prayer time.
Yes.
And here we go. Aw, bro. Contemplating the next... party we're going to takes up all my prayer time.
Fraternity bro.
Oh. Yes. Contemplating the deepest recessions of your brain.
Psychiatrist.
As I put you under.
Oh, a hypnotist.
Yep. Contemplating how to get another tear mark underneath my eye is all I do into my
bad
prayer
guy,
time.
Hardened
criminal.
Yeah.
Contemplating which outfit to put on Fluffy. For the formal that we're going to, in the time we're going to take pictures
rich, spoiled
outside of
woman.
The kennel.
A dog groomer?
And taking, in my prayer time, I pray for what color nails to put on Fluffy's nails when I'm taking Fluffy to
a fancy
the
dog owner.
Obsessed pet owner. That's
yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Contemplating all
Dracula.
The... Type A that I want to suck takes up a lot of my prayer time. Vampire.
Yeah.
Nice.
This is so weird. This is the weirdest. Because like, you can't stop and think like we do on the other one, which is the death of us. Thinking ruins
us.
Don't think.
Just get out of the
way. Just go for it. In fact.
Go for it.
Stop what you're doing and listen to the Beatitudes.
Nick.
Speaking of. The topic of the next papal encyclical.
Okay.
Hiya!
The Kung Fu Master.
Karate Master.
The topic of the next papal encyclical will be
sushi
porcelain and how I can get all
Chinese mystic
the sushi that I've eaten in this very large body out of my body.
It's constipated sumo wrestler.
Yes.
Wow, he's contemplating.
He's contemplating.
The
topic of the next papal encyclical will definitely be about how the NFL takes over Sunday, and that's bad.
A sports commentator.
Yeah.
No. A news anchor. No.
That's bad, but also like...
Anti-Taylor Swift.
Good in the fact that sports is just the best. Like, at the end of the day...
Sports
I
week?
Love sports, yeah.
Yeah.
Fanatical
Taylor
sports.
Taylor Swift.
Yar, the next
Popeye,
the next
sailor
pirate,
yeah,
Moby
Yar.
Dick,
Yar, oh, gives Yar. It away.
The topic of the next papal encyclical will probably be me because
a narcissist.
Why would
yeah.
millennial?
Oh, hey,
we love you.
At least go with Gen Z. They're not in this room.
The topic of the next papal encyclical will probably be all of the devices that you can subtly.
An inventor.
Put into people's lives that make them a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe when they sit down, they sounds like a body whoopee function.
Cushion?
Yeah.
Could yeah, sound so a like clown? A
prankster.
Yeah. Yeah, practical joke.
Apple enthusiast. I was just thinking about things you put in people's lives. I don't know.
Fair enough.
Very good.
Good job.
Thank you.
All right, here we go. I haven't looked at my character cards. Yep. Here we go.
Okay.
Next on Catholic Radio, we will be talking about the church militant and the trenches that we all have to get into, you know.
Army general. Or
be able to fight our way out of.
Military
at
leader.
Least that brings back a lot of memories for me.
This is like a gun enthusiast?
Of being in that situation where...
Redneck?
Where the Germans were coming straight
retired
at
World
me.
War II veteran?
There it is. Yep.
What was your prompt?
War veteran.
No, but that was your person. What was your prompt?
Catholic Radio. Next.
Catholic Radio. Yeah. Next Catholic Radio.
Next
on Catholic Radio, we will be talking about what it's like to give birth to a seventh child, and I'm somehow already pregnant with the eighth.
Catholic homeschool mom.
I'm constantly pregnant. That's it.
Yeah.
Like going through my brain of what they're actually called.
Without looking at his deal.
Next on Catholic Radio, we will be talking about
constantly nervous, fidgety fellas.
Just how dirty the holy water fonts can get, and so
obsessive compulsive.
So you know, maybe we should clean those, every so often. And I'm just worried I'm coming down with
not schizophrenic,
the flu, and you know, and I'm
narcissistic.
Hypochondriac, but
that's the word I'm trying to say.
I know.
I said a word that was like what you thought I would say.
Correct. Next on Catholic Radio, we will be talking about speed dating and how it will work for
TV game show host.
You know, I just have a feeling because I signed my name on a $5 bill one time, and I know that the woman I'm meant to marry is going to find that, and she's going to find
hopeless
her way.
Romantic.
That's it.
Yeah.
Next on Catholic Radio, we will be talking about putting everything on red and not losing your home.
Obsessive gambler. Do you know what's so great? Paul doesn't even give us cues. He just keeps going until we get closer. Like me, I'm like, He's like just sticks in character. Like,
so good.
Thanks. All right. I hope y'all enjoyed that. That was fun.
I enjoyed that. Yeah.
What a rush.
Yeah, it's funny too because playing this game enough, like sometimes just the name. Yeah, wabra.
French? You speak French?
What a rare.
So you go back to Czechoslovakia.
Czechoslovakia? Is that what you said? It's not silent every syllable. Like the back half of every syllable isn't silent in French.
I've never been.
Okay.
How would I know this?
Touche.
Oh, now you're going to speak German?
No, that was French.
That was good.
It's okay. I don't really understand math.
Yeah.
Geography's hard.
All right. We're the Beatitudes. I hope that you made it this far. If you did, you get actually a
chance to subscribe. No, sorry.
To subscribe and 100 points to start season 3. Yes. Paul, the undisputed champion of season 2. Two titles in a row. You're going for the three-peat?
Back
what are
to
you?
Back.
I'm going to try.
Nobody's ever done that before.
Nobody.
I am going to go for it.
Do you know what else Nick and I have going for us? Nobody's ever ousted you through a whole season. Mm. So next season's going to be a season full of firsts, but the only way you'll know that is subscribe.
Yes. Yeah. And hit the bell for notifications if you're on YouTube.
That's how that works?
Yeah.
That does help.
Oh.
And then you get like a notification that there's a new episode. That's how that works. It's good to know how it works.
Pretty cool.
But yeah.
Share
the show, like it, comment.
So pumped because next week, if people tune in next week, they're going to hear us talk to a lot of different folks from the DCYC conference.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes, which stands for Diocesan Catholic Youth Conference. So there was a huge conference. It was the largest they've had.
1,400 or 1,500 students, high schoolers.
Yeah. A lot of high school students. Yeah.
Dallas, I guess.
Yeah.
Y'all, these 16-year-olds put us in our place about the Eucharist, prayer. Mm.
Their faith is alive.
Vulnerability, yeah. They're funnier than us, so.
Watch out. They're gonna start a podcast that's way more successful.
And you can learn how to spit bars.
Yep,
yeah, we learned what that was.
Preview.
Coming your way. All right, for all of us, we just really want to say thank you for two great seasons, for a killer finish to season 2. Christopher in the comments, we will do some sort of a special show with you to pop in and give your reflections on season 2 down the road. No.
Wait a second.
What? Melon.
Yes. No. We're seeing him in more than just the comments.
Oh, my goodness. That is not
hold
a
on,
comment.
Hold on. Yeah. Flip
yeah.
The,
we. Oh, watch the
we're
light.
We're good.
Watch the light. Okay. Yeah.
Christopher.
Hello, Christopher.
Stop.
what you're doing and listen to the Beatitudes.
That's right. We're here for a special segment of the Beatitudes, the show for Christian men coming together in humor and holiness and walking with our Lord as we just try to grow with one another and to experience the living Christ in community. And speaking of community, Christopher from the comments is going to be here in a second. Well, he's here. We'll talk to him in a second. My name is Jeff Shovelbein. I'm joined by two of the most amazing men ever, Nick Besner.
I'm glad you didn't go myself on that one.
I'd already said my name. I was like, how do I backtrack?
You were trying to find a way.
And Paul Golker.
Howdy, howdy.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
And then a gentleman who I had never met until this show got going. Paul, you'd met him once.
Yes.
Nick hadn't met him.
Nope.
And Christopher showed up in the comments.
Yes.
Christopher,
I
comments.
Just appeared out of nowhere.
They come to life right now.
Yeah, he surprised us with this visit. We actually thought we were going to be phoning him in. And,
yeah.
And
it's not a
maybe
quick
next
drive
time you'll
from
estimate me.
Maybe next time you'll estimate me. Michael Scott quote. I love it.
Wow.
This is so good. I'm just happy to be here at the underscore.
Yes.
Yes. I might just step out of the way because I think, Christopher, you've maybe prepared some comments.
He's got some comments.
If you don't watch this show, you should watch this little short and then go back and watch every single episode from season two. We're doing a recap with Christopher in the comments.
Yes, this is all.
Can we call you Commentster?
Commentster.
Commentster.
Yeah.
The Beata Commentster.
That's it.
That's kind of long.
It's long.
Speaking of clunky, it's very cozy under this table. You guys aren't kidding.
Hey, under this table?
We're bumping these over here.
Yeah.
It's the right position.
It is comfortable. It's also warm in here.
Yes, it's a little toasty.
You're not kidding about that.
Nope.
Yeah. So sometimes when we're not feeling healthy, it starts to get really weird in here because there's extreme heat and it just
turns into a fever dream. Yeah.
My daughter had one at 4 a.m. and I thought about you guys in fever dreams. Christopher, welcome.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What do you got for us? It's season two recap.
Season two recap, man.
Well, I just want to, can I just preface this? Like, I get emails anytime there's a comment on YouTube. And I have been getting
those.
Blown
Sorry about that.
Up. Because, Christopher, you've gone back through. You rewatched every episode in season two.
You're right. Yes, I just finished that up today.
At 2x speed? Like, how are you doing this?
Please don't tell people at his job. Wow.
I'm very careful to make sure I'm still performing. I'm only doing this when it's prudent for me to do so.
Like on drives.
He's not doing this at work.
Got it.
Yeah, I mean, just making sure I'm doing it in between tasks and stuff like that and lunches. And
lunch break, evenings. Lunch break,
evenings. Yeah, 1.75 or 2x, depending on the guest and the caffeine content of the people at the table, I think.
Wow. You got to slow down when we have caffeine.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
He goes to 0.5 speed on them.
1.5. Yeah, I can do 1.5, I think, when you're all hopped up on Red
Caffeine,
Bull.
Caffeine, Red Bull, and Celsius.
Yes.
I feel known.
You get me.
Eyeball comment. Eyeball comment.
Amazing.
Eyeball comment.
These emojis come through. I'm like, I don't know what this means, but now I do.
Side eye.
Amazing.
Side eye. Okay, what do you got?
Man, I don't know. I have yet to find a better, more inspiring combination of humorness and holiness, though, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But speaking of the weekly versus the whole binging thing, you know, watching weekly, you get very, like, quantized episodes, right? You get you guys and the guest, but when you're watching a whole bunch of them all the way through, you start to catch the inside jokes more, the recurring themes, you know.
I
can't wait.
Oh boy.
Buckle
no,
up.
No, no, no. Oh no. No. No, this is a good one. This is actually kind of a deep thing that occurred to me earlier in the week, late last week, before I even really dug into the binge. I was thinking this, but then going back through just confirmed everything that I had already mostly composed to talk about. And it's basically season two really echoed a theme of selfless service and charity.
Wow.
If you go back, I didn't notice it the first time through, just watching it weekly. But like I said, watching the whole thing in just a few days, I kept hearing that theme of service, and seeing it in the guests too. So I think it was very providential.
Would you believe us if we said we planned that?
It was in our strategy session.
Because of the way I said, wow.
No, you're right. It was pure providence. It was very providential.
Yeah, and some of the really stark examples, Deacon Burke Sivers,
law enforcement, counterterrorism career, and then transitioning smoothly, I'm sure, into the deacon and then the writer-speaker thing. I mean, his whole life is just decades of service.
Mm. Yeah.
And Bishop Burns, of course, is like living example of service. I mean, he's an embodiment of service, and especially in the church in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Tom Verano's episode, one of the later ones, 94, I just kept hearing him talk about service, and he was transforming his passion into service to others and basically being rewarded by God for those efforts and for the struggles. And then the last episode with Allie Hoffman, she called it out very explicitly too, you know, the selfless service that you guys project. Mm. And I mean, awesome. You can see it too. I mean, you've got specific examples I've got here. If you want to allow me to take the time, but, it comes through, you know, especially if you're seeing the whole thing in a continuum of the show.
That's cool. And, we've heard that from you.
Literally ones of viewers have told us.
Well,
that.
Now hopefully everybody will listen to that and they'll be able to see it.
They're going to cue into it. That's for sure.
Yeah. That is awesome. Wow.
You know, I've been, inspired by this whole thing about observing that and you can see it. You can see it in the interactions too. And there's a difference between doing things because you think you should or because they're going to benefit you and doing things for other people.
Hmm.
You know, and if you're looking for it, especially if you have the Christian ethos like we do, you can see that sort of thing.
Sure.
But I think recent circumstances have also contributed to my ability to see it, making this whole thing kind of a big providential scheme way over our heads. You know, you invited me recently to come to your house for the Colby movie event with the D'Ambrosios. And I started off socializing a bit, saw Nick there. That was great. I missed you, Polonius. You must have been doing some humorness that night.
He's not allowed to his old house until it's just him, which is happening tomorrow.
Oh, no kidding.
I didn't want his first exposure to be with other people because I want him to go through like and
didn't
walk
to be all
tour me through the house he was in.
It's going to be bizarre.
Yes.
He could have helped with the tours. He could have been.
Paul will show you around.
Allow Paul to show you around the house he grew up in.
It's like when we're leaving today, I'm going to say, Paul, you coming home tomorrow?
Nice.
I'm not going to say that. He just did,
though. About right. You're going home tomorrow, Paul.
He definitely won't say that.
Yep.
Not going to say it.
Not going to immortalize it on camera either.
Nope.
Yep.
Anyway, like doing this show and stuff like that. It's an act of service. I mean, you're here. I don't know how long you're usually here recording. I mean, it seems like you're recording a ton. I mean, you're recording somebody right before me, and then you're squeezing me in. I'm taking up a bunch of your time. But so the service extends not just among you guys, but to your families, Beata wives and Beata kids. You know, they have to, get to miss you while you're here.
They get to miss us.
I'm trying to apply the lessons.
That's so good.
Check out Jeff on LinkedIn. And free promotion.
I love it.
But you let me in there, and you're performing an act of service for your friends at D'Ambrosios to get this movie out. Weeks after, one, you had a new baby. Shortly after that, moving. And then a head injury of a small child. And then more medical drama.
Mm-hmm.
That came out of that. Thanks be to God for the way that's turned out so far. But right on the heels of that, you're still doing this event, this late night event for the D'Ambrosios, and it's not necessarily just for them, because the effect of their movie, you know, it's about Colby, St. Maximilian Colby, and his sufferings with 9 other people in the starvation chamber. Right, there we go. I'm wearing the socks. I'm not going to lift my. I'm so tempted to lift my leg because people have tried it.
Just
in here.
We'll get there.
And. But this movie, it's about suffering. It's about suffering in a Catholic way, a deeply Catholic way. And suffering as Catholics, you know, if you've got a grandmother who grew up in the older years, you know, you might stub a toe or something and be told, offer it up. And that's not like Catholic for suck it up, buttercup. There's a deeper meaning there, which is, you know, when you offer your sufferings and your penances, you're building up grace, and those graces don't apply just to individuals. You know, we don't just hog those graces for ourselves. Those graces can be offered up for the good of the whole church, and that's the significance of the religious life. you know, the Carmelites and the other contemplative religious, you know, church leaders. I've heard several older older school church leaders credit their good works, like their evangelization efforts, on the religious orders, especially the, like the Carmelites. You know, they're doing prayer and penances all day long for the good of the church and the world, so the church and the world can function. You know, and so offering it up, you stub your toe, you're doing good for the church and the world. I don't know how often you guys listen to, like, Father Ripperger. You guys listen to Father Ripperger?
I've listened to some of his stuff. Yeah.
I think I heard him come up once, like, in season one.
Yeah.
Oh, don't ask me the episode. I don't have that many details. But he's recently talked about his observations and his fellow exorcists' observations of how long it takes to do exorcisms. Here's the left turn. It's taken them a lot longer these days, in the last few years especially, but even in the last few decades, to liberate somebody. He said it's gone from, you know, like a few days, maybe a few weeks for the hard cases in about 50 or 60 years ago, to about sometimes years, multiple years, to liberate somebody. And, you know, they've gone through, you know, trying to figure out exactly why this is. And he says the theologians they're working with, that are among them, think that, you know, it's exorcisms are a sacramental. You know, they're not a sacrament. They're a sacramental, kind of like the rosary. And those things, they have grace attached to them. But unlike sacraments, sacraments operate the Latin. Here's the Latin. I'm bringing some Latin.
Here we go.
Opere operato.
By the work having been worked.
Correct. You do the sacrament right with the right intention, the sacrament has effect. You know, the priest says the right words with the intention to do what the church does. Bread and wine becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. There's also ex opere operantis, which is?
By the working or something? It's like more present.
By the work of the doer.
Or
it's more like the work of the doer, like how the work is done. This is your disposition.
Oh, yeah.
So the sacrament happens, but the better the disposition you have, the more grace you get out of it. The better the disposition the priest has, the more grace comes out of the Mass. And then for us, too, the better we're disposed, like for communion or confession, the more grace we get out of that. Now, sacramentals, their effectiveness is purely based on the ex opere operantis principle.
So
the disposition.
Yeah.
You know, if you're praying your rosary but thinking about playing golf or doing podcasts, you know, you're not really praying the rosary that well. Not going to get a ton of, you're not going to get the graces out of that you would if you were really, you know, kind of.
I think Paul was
going to
say, oh, shoot, I'm missing my golf game.
No, I don't play golf. And if I did, it's badly.
You'd be better off praying the rosary.
That's it.
That's how that works.
Yep.
Right. I
can't slice a rosary.
Thankfully.
Yes.
So, shouldn't.
Yep. never mind.
So exorcism, interestingly, so exorcisms are a work of the church as a whole. It's not just based purely on the disposition of, say, like the priest or the assistants that are involved in it. They might be involved in that a little bit. But Father Ripperger and the folks he's consulted talk about how the exorcism is a work of the church as a whole, and depend on the graces that are coming through to the world through the church. And so, generally speaking, it's just been observed that in the last few decades, people are a little bit less holy, doing a little bit less praying and sacrificing and offering it up. And so there's less effectiveness in doing those exorcisms. So, I mean, you'll hear people talk about, oh, it works better in Latin in the older rite or whatever. And there might be some truth to that, but it also, Father Ripperger says, has a lot to do with the holiness of the people in the church and the world right now. So all that to say, coming back, right turn, back a little bit more on center here, on target, your selfless service of offering your house for the benefit of your friends making this movie will go out to people who will see this movie about St. Maximilian Kolbe's suffering, and will hopefully come away with the Catholic disposition of suffering and be more willing to offer their sufferings for the good of people in the church and in the world, and will have a cascading effect on the world through that release of graces that hopefully people are offering up in the world. So that's just one specific example of that's occurred to me based on my experience with you guys, where the work you're doing here, you know, you're gonna leave a mark on the guests, they're gonna leave a mark on you guys, on all of us who are watching. On either side of the camera, and hopefully we're all offering up more grace, and that's going to go out, and that's going to give people the ability to do more good works And that's going to, they're going to pray, and they're going to offer those up to increase the graces to go out to more people. And hopefully, you know, the effect of that will be exponential in the world.
It's a compounding thing, right?
Yeah.
And you were telling me there that you've got people, you've got so many people lined up to do this, big names who want to get in this room and do this with you, who would have a huge impact because they have a huge reach, right? And, I mean, you're having a hard time squeezing them in because you're getting so many, right?
Oh, there's plenty. Yes.
Some people who just show up.
I have a very small reach. Let's just be clear. I'm not going to drop the name that you dropped on me, but that's a big reach. And because I don't know if you're ready to drop that one.
Teaser.
Stay tuned. Future seasons.
Commenter.
Yeah. So
we're going to call him Tater because he's the commentator.
Commentator.
Beatitator.
The Beatitator.
Beatitator.
Well, to be determined.
TBD.
Oh, I got the sound effect.
Yep.
Yes.
Anyway, the reach is growing. And so, I mean, doing this in the spirit of charity for the good of others will transforms this thing from a worldly work into a heavenly one that, God willing, will do unimaginable good in the world. And I'm just grateful that you let me ambush you in here and to and so that you let me play a little
awesome,
part of it, whether
awesome,
in the comments
awesome
or in this
reflection.
Room.
I mean, Christopher, you're blowing us away right now.
Yeah, so good.
You know, when people think, because you just made it look like we had this grand plan, which was very beautiful and providential. But I got to say that what we joked about, that is not a joke at all, is how much we've been open to the Holy Spirit in this. And that comes from the very beginnings of this whatever this is, to the way that we pray with our guests and with each other before we go on air, for each other off air when we're doing other parts of our lives. I mean, prayer and the Eucharist are at the center of all of this. And so the funny part is, don't forget that all three of us want joy in our life, and that being of this faith is a joyful faith, even in all the craziness you just named about our lives, our changes, our jobs, our struggles. You don't have to be absent of joy. So this has been a great joy, even that it allows us to get to know people like you and the stories we all hear. It's just, it's overflowing. So thank you.
It's beautiful. It's overwhelming just to be in the comments and.
Well, one thing I do want to state, because I think we could all attest to this, and it goes directly to what you're saying about offering sacrifices and things like that. I think all three of us felt this show actually take off in a bigger way once we started doing things. This is not meant to be purely a plug, but once we started doing things like St. Michael's Lent and Exodus 90, where we're making deliberate choices to offer sacrifices and to give up things like, you know, warm showers, or to have, like, you know, a prayer time that is very specifically intentional and set apart in the morning and things like that. And we all That's tried to pray point. And do those things beforehand anyway, but just that very deliberate, you know, scheduling of that in a fraternity with those groups. I mean, it's been incredible.
The couple things that this makes me think of is, one is one of the reasons I like TBD too, as well, because I think it shows where we're journeying together. It's not just outward. It's like together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that ends up being very, that's the fraternity part really comes out a lot there. The second thing, I'll just put it out there. Not anything funny when I'm saying this, during season 3, we'll do an adoration together. You know, we'll go and have that.
Ooh.
And we like to invite our top commenter.
Oh yeah.
To be a part of that adoration.
Mr. Tater himself.
Yeah.
Sorry, I ruined it.
Dudes and taters and adoration.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Any parting thoughts here? I mean, we're
what, we went all the way through that, but we haven't gotten to the points yet.
Well, let's hear it.
Oh yeah, the wrap up of
season
Go
2.
Season 2 points.
I've been rooting for you, Nick, this whole
season. Hey, yeah. I'm on the podium, which is always a big deal
in
F1.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, Beata points in second place in season 2 with 1,122.5 Beata points. Jeff Schiefelbein.
I made it. Oh, yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, no cheating, no looking, you two. First place with 1,610.6 Beata points, Paulonius Coker. Although, I do need to point out, Nick came in third place when considering the point numbers, the magnitude this season. But you did receive the bishop's 83 apostolic episcopal points in episode 67, and another 3 really big points in episode 73 from Michael Hoffman. So
they were very big and
special,
they,
super
they,
special.
Those
points.
Have been sustaining points. They've been really carrying me.
Nick, you say they're carrying you, but I've watched since then. It feels like a burden. You've been weighed down by them.
Maybe that's it.
You've been carrying those big old points.
I felt lighter as we were coming into season 3 here.
Get these big points off me.
For your penance. I also want to point out, that we actually got a viewer who, on the marshmallow game, racked up 46 points. That'd be Gladys in the comments.
Yeah!
Congratulations, Gladys, and your 46 Beata points.
How did that happen? Game.
Because we said, like, if you're still with us, you get the 46 points, too, or something like that.
I'm still watching, barely, 46 points. I found that during my binge review.
I had to apologize
to Gladys for my delayed response, but she's on the scoreboard.
Yes. Gladys, if you ever knock on this door, you have a seat at this table.
That's right.
Hey, yeah, earlier, so, Christopher.
Yes.
I go in Nick's office and I'm rifling through something. He goes, "What you doing, buddy?" I go, "Just looking for stuff to shove in our mouths."
Oh, like eat?
He's like, wow.
Why do you talk the way that the words? The words.
It helps to formulate the sentence before you say it.
Well, we went through a process. We're trying to come up with something creative, and I would just play ridiculous music and sit here, and then I'd be like, "What about this?" And we're like, "No, you can't ask a priest that."
Yeah.
What about this?
Yeah.
You have to have some checks.
That's right. We got them. Any other point things today?
Yeah, one thing. Sorry, I wanted to double back on what you said about starting to do the St. Michael's Light and that kind of stuff on the thing. Priests have also told me, I've heard, that when you're praying for something and you're thinking God's not listening for some reason, a lot of times he's waiting for you to offer a sacrifice to get those things you're praying for. Mm. And very often if you're really wanting something, if there's something big that you need, that you're praying for, very often, doing some sacrifice, throwing some fasting in there, some kind of penance, God will reward that.
Well, and also the way I've heard that put is it's not as if, I mean, okay, there's a whole lot of theology behind this, and I'm trying to condense it into one little statement. So
yeah,
it's
2,000 years worth.
Yeah, so it's not, I'm not probably going to do it justice, so bear with me here. But the thing that I've heard it put is that it's, you're basically making space for grace, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea is, it's not even like just, we're doing some sort of exchange, right? Where it's like a currency of me offering a sacrifice and then I get what I want from God. It's that I'm getting out of my own way and getting out of God's way so that he can actually, so the sacrifice helps me to let him move in that circumstance.
Yeah, opening yourself up to the selflessness of the whole thing. Yeah.
I love this.
It's so good.
Kind of a 6-year-old thing from PAX last night. Yes. He's like, who made my lunch today for school? And I said, it wasn't me. And he goes, well, for tomorrow, this is what I want. This, this, and this. It was like, he wants pizza. He wants blueberry muffins. And he wants an orange. And I was like, buddy, we're out of cheese pizza. And those muffins all got eaten. But I can throw an orange in there. And he goes, that's fine. Well, turns out my 4-year-old has been just coughing. And so we knew he wasn't going to go to the school today. So I'm like doing all this other stuff, and PAX has been really off the charts helpful about all this stuff lately. And I walk over and I pull the lunch pail out that we didn't have for the 4-year-old to go to school that same day. And I open it up, and no joke, it's cheese pizza, an orange, and 2 blueberry muffins. And I said, PAX, literally, this is exactly what you just asked me for. And he goes, you see, Dad, I've been doing a lot of sacrifices lately. And I did them with a big heart, and God just rewarded me for those sacrifices by giving me exactly what I asked for when I wasn't after I had already given up on the fact that it could happen. And I was like,
boom.
What? Huh?
From the mouth of babes.
I mean, I was like,
is he six?
Six, yeah.
Six.
I sat down with Amanda later, and I was like, I got to tell you what Pac said before we go to bed, like in our little check-in time.
Yeah,
I'm like,
for sure.
This kid gets it, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, awesome. Very
we've nice. Already Beautiful. Like restarted these cameras, so my question to you is, do you want to play a game?
Oh, man.
Do you know the game?
Thought you'd never
Do you know the game, Christopher? Do you want to intro the game?
Blessed are the joke makers, for they shall inherit and inherent.
Yes!
The point.
Inherent. That goes back to season 1.
We just brought it back with Allie.
Oh, I know. Well, I know.
It's been there the whole time. That N has not left the scoreboard.
How many points is this one worth, Christopher?
Oh,
you did I'm it. Actually just going to make this an episode to kick off season just three. Sure. So we're good to
warm
go.
Up. I'll be your warm up for season three.
Perfect.
Okay. What is what's the point total?
161 just came to mind for some
reason.
There
we go. Yeah.
Okay, that's it. All right. Big one. So we've got a character card and we've got a Catholic card game card, and we have to answer the prompt on the Catholic card game card as said character. So the character we are all taking on is as the angriest road rager. You know you're Catholic when you love talking about blank.
I'm so excited.
Listen, ever since you cut me off, I gotta tell you something. I may not love you, but I do love them both. I agree with that bumper sticker. But I don't love you. I don't love you, but love them both.
Your stick family has 8 people on it. You know you're Catholic when you love showing off how many kids you have in your family to the world so they know what love is.
You win. That was perfect.
That was gold. That was pure gold. I don't even know.
Big golden.
I didn't know he was going for it.
I didn't either. You just didn't. I mean, I'm glad you did.
I mean, I have one, but
throw
it's not going to
top
that.
Throw it in there for fun. Okay. Let's all have some fun with it.
Sorry, I should have saved it for last.
No, that was I
gold.
Mean, yes.
Sometimes somebody's
got
to hit a grand slam when they're the second one up to bat, which seems impossible.
Can't believe you just break checked me. I'm going to pray a rosary for you, though. That's how you know you're Catholic, is when you pray for somebody for decades.
Decades and decades.
Hey, why'd you just cut me off? I got to get back in my own lane. You know, we're always talking about staying in your own lane, but you know you're Catholic when you love talking about staying... I got nothing.
I thought something would just come.
Christopher, in the comments. Christopher.
I was I was praying for this moment. I was thinking, there's no way we're going to squeeze in this game.
If I just show up and sit there, things will happen.
There's no way when they pull out those cards, I'm going to have any idea what to say.
He must have sacrificed before this.
That's right.
Because he got what he wanted.
But I hope you didn't sacrifice any stick figures on your car.
No, there are no stick figures on my car. I'm not Catholic enough for this.
Yeah, weirdly kind of dark.
Hey, for being our celebrity winner... And judge of 161 points, you're getting St. Philomena socks, the pinkest, most pink Catholic socks you could ever own.
Yeah.
And awesome.
You can Philomena with your feet.
Yeah.
Hey, and her face goes
Philomena
on the legs.
My shoes with it.
It goes on the legs. Yeah.
Thank you guys very much.
Hey, thank you. What a
awesome.
Honor.
Yeah.
Strange, amazing turn of events.
Yeah. This
the
is
honor's
so
all
cool.
mine, gents.
So good.
What'd
Thank you for
say?
Having. I said the honor is all mine, gents.
Oh man,
gents.
Everything out of his mouth. Gents. I'm like, wait, what pun was that? What was that? Sometimes he just says regular
he just,
things.
I have
He's
set
just
the
talking.
Expectations way too high.
Conversation.
Yes.
All
Conversing.
Right.
Yes.
If we could get you guys to like, comment, and subscribe as much as Christopher, then we will be blessing more and more people. So make that sacrifice for us by sharing with others, like, subscribing, commenting, and you Amen. Know we always ask questions, and we want you. To jump in on the comments with your answers. And like Nick said, we actually all get to see your comments in real time. They hit the microwaves or whatever it's called, interwebs of our chat GPT.
Email.
Okay.
We get an email.
And we do pray for you. Like we see when people ask about, you know, things about career, you know, and those types of intentions. I'm not going to name names or anything right now, but just, I mean, we see that stuff and we pray for you.
No, you're being prayed for. Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
And we give out points. So you comment with what you want prayers for now, you give yourself 2 points and Christopher will keep up with it for
Every
us.
Every prayer intention gets 2 points on the board.
That's
there
right.
You, there you
just
go.
This one episode.
Just right. This, yeah.
I can get out of hand. I don't want to lose over prayer intentions.
Don't get fired.
I'll be cycling through all the episodes every day.
I'm already at 0.
Wow. Yeah, that would be a lot.
Oh, yeah. You don't get the notifications we do.
No, I have to manually go through all the episodes.
We can set that up. Yeah, we can figure
we know
that
a
out.
Guy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right, my friend. All right. Thank you for blessing us with all of this, for your sacrifices, for being a big part of the Beatitudes, just
it's
like all of you. And, I don't even know what to say to you other than we'll see you in the comments. Yes.
I will see
Sometimes
you.
In the corridor. And then you can finish us out by saying, and we
I
will.
Will see you in the Eucharist.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless us, everyone.
Wrong one.
It's
Almost.
It's the correct button.
Yeah, yeah. Wrong screen.
Just didn't.
Wrong
screen.
Yeah. There we go. That's okay.
All right.
No!
Somehow, oh, yeah.
Paul can hear that one note. It didn't even finish, and his mouth is ready to say no.
The Beatitudes wish you a blessed Lent, a blessed Passiontide.
Yeah, we ask you as you round into season 3, make a sacrifice.
All the sacrifices. Offer them all up.
Offer it up.
To the church.
I'm offering this up right now.
Yeah, the glory
of God
and
the salvation of souls.
All right, I'll finish with a good one. Nope. I don't even know how to turn off the slow jazz here. All right, we're out.
Fried his brain.
Don't stop believing. No matter what you feel, subscribe to the Beatitudes.
Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to join us at our undersized table, subscribe to the video version of the show on YouTube by typing at, that's the symbol at, so shift and 2 on your keyboard, at the _ Beatitudes on YouTube. We'll see you there.
This podcast is part of the Spoke Street Network. For more great podcasts, visit SpokeStreet.com.